Okay, our scripture today is found in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 42. Before we get to reading this, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you mightily once again for your mercy and your grace in our lives. And we ask you, Lord, that your Spirit is with us as we read your scripture and as we expound upon it, that the words spoken are of you and blessed by you. And anything that's not, we pray is forgotten. But that which is, we are challenged, we are encouraged, and that we go out from this place and serve you with our whole life. May your light shine today and always in the name of Jesus. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 42. Hear now God's word. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. This is Peter's preaching after the Pentecost, after the flaming tongues of fire came down. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay. One of my favorite things about the book of Acts is the description of the early church. I just love how it describes how the early church lived and what they did for one another. And that after our scripture that we read today, if you follow along just a few more verses, it starts to describe how the early church lived. And some of the things that the early church did was that they provided for each other, that no one was ever in want or need because they shared with one another their possessions. They realized that all that they had was given to them by God, and because God gave to them also one another, that they then share those things so that others are cared for and loved and taken care of. The early church is extremely beautiful and powerful during that time. And we talk, and as pastors, we talk, and sometimes we say things like, you know, we wish we can get back to the early church. Of course, 2,000 years separates the early church from today, and so getting back to it exactly is quite difficult. However, we can start to look at some of the things that were important to the early church and test that with our own experience of our life and how we experience church, and see if there's any similarities or differences. Before we get into that, though, it's important to look at what started this early church, and that's Pentecost. Pentecost was celebrated a couple months ago. What Pentecost is, which many of you know already, is that it's when the tongues of fire came down from heaven with a mighty rushing wind and set onto the heads and the foreheads of those who were gathered in that group. And what it provided for them was the ability to speak different languages. After the tongues set upon them, then they spoke different languages, and they went outside of that room, and then they started ministering and speaking to all those who were in attendance during the Passover in Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem at that time, many people from other countries came from all over to worship at the temple during Passover. And they all heard people speaking in their own languages. They thought it was a phenomenal thing. Now, Pentecost has an extremely important function that relates all the way back to Genesis. Do you remember there's a time in Genesis where there was the people that were gathered together. They all gathered into one valley together, and they started building something. You remember that thing that they were all building in this valley? It was a giant tower. And the function of the tower that they said was that let's do something together so that we will be remembered, because they felt at any moment they could be wiped out again, and they wanted to have some sustainability, something to remember them by, something to mark their existence. So they started building this tall tower. Now, I've preached on this before, and so some of you may remember this already. There's an importance to the tower. There were two realms that they recognized in their life. There was the earthly realm, the ground, and that's where they dwelled. And then there was the sky, and the sky was the heavenly realm, and that's where God dwelled. And so they're building a tower up into the sky, was them trying to get themselves into the heavenly realm. They were trying to make themselves gods, or at least equal to God. God didn't want this in any way and tried to foil their pride, and he did so by cursing them, or maybe in another way blessing them, but cursing them with different languages, confusing their tongues. And then they noticed that they couldn't understand all of each other, but they could understand some of each other. So they broke off into groups, and those groups went into all the world. And so created, you know, our countries and that sort of thing. Fast forward now to Pentecost. It's almost as if God is undoing the Tower of Babel. No longer are we being separated by language, but God is now binding us together through language, providing the ability for all the disciples to be able to speak and bind together people, but bind them together very specifically through Jesus Christ. And through the message of the gospel of Christ. And so God is showing us through this very important act of Pentecost that what is so important in our lives is Jesus Christ and the fellowship of one another through Christ. You see, and I say this a lot, and it's very important to me, we're not created to be an island. Created for relationships, for one another, all over the world. Language is no longer a barrier, culture not a barrier, but we're supposed to come together through the love of Christ. And so what we see is once the early church was starting to grow, 3,000 people were saved that day. We see that the things that they dedicated themselves to are of great importance to pay attention to. When they were baptized. Baptism is a sign of the covenant. It's a sacrament that shows us that through Christ, we are loved by God. And that God publicly loves each and every one of us. And we're instituted into this body. So it's a relationship building with God and with one another. And then as they were together then, as they gathered together, they devoted themselves to these four other things. The apostles' teaching, which I would say, cut out the middleman, cut out the apostles' teaching, the teaching of Jesus Christ, the gospel teaching. Scripture, Bible, the word of God. They devoted themselves to that. They devoted themselves to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. As the children's chat, we looked at the four things, we looked at several things which were basic to us, which were necessary for life. Good hygiene, water, food, good food, not candy bars, as much as we like that. These things, I think, are basic to our church. What it means to be church. And I'll tell you, we live in a time right now in our world where those things may not be challenged, but we're starting to look at what church truly means. At what is church? Because church doesn't look like what it used to look like. looks different in a very short period of time. When coronavirus first hit in March, the difficult decision had to be made to cancel or postpone the church services, the Sunday worship services. And again, I thank everyone who helped with that during that time. But we postponed for, you know, just a few weeks, just a couple of weeks. It was 1 week at a time when we first started, hoping that we'd be able to go back to normal. And then 1 week turned into two, 2 weeks turned into three, turned into a month. And we had to start thinking, what is church? What does it look like? What are the most important aspects of church and of the gathering? And how can we do that in this new normal that we find ourselves? Because we haven't got back to normal yet. I appreciate greatly the use of technology that we've been able to use and that we're able to worship together, though in many different places. We have people sitting here in the social hall. We got people joining us on Zoom as far away as Hyde. But we're still part of the body of Christ. We're still in church together. So what makes church church? I think the four things that they said are very helpful. We gather together, maybe not in physical presence, but virtually also, and we throw ourselves and surrender ourselves to the teachings of Jesus through the sermon, through the scripture reading. That we recognize that Christ is so important in our lives, and so through our own devotions, through our scripture reading at home, the fellowship is so important. And so those of us who are gathered here are also fellowshipping with those who are gathered on Zoom. Fellowship looks different. We may not be able to greet each other with the holy kiss. Some of us never wanted the holy kiss to begin with. But still we can gather together. In love and joy and peace, we can see one another. We have the phone trees, which we use to keep in touch. We check on one another, and even if someone's not on our own phone tree or phone list, we still check in with others. And we meet how we can, because the fellowship with one another is important. We break bread. We will do so today through communion. But breaking bread from the early church wasn't just communion. It was also gathering together for the meal, and whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, because it's important to eat together. There's something wonderful about sharing the same gravy boat. Now, we can't quite share the same gravy boat yet, but I do pray one day that'll come again. And they dedicated themselves to prayer. When we pray together, even if we're separate, we are binded together by the Holy Spirit, by the presence of Jesus, who prays with us and for us and through us, for those whom we pray for. You see, what I think I've learned and what I pray that others learn about church during this COVID time is that we're never out of it, that we're always in it. Because we are always in the body of Christ, and so we are always part of church wherever we are. Whether we be here in the social hall, whether we at home, whether we're at Chomp and Save, whether we're in the doctor's office, whether we're driving, constantly find ourselves in church. And we're gathered together. When we gather together, the Holy Spirit binds us together. And this is just the church coming together for a time of worship together, for a time of strengthening together, for a time of loving one another. We can do that at any point when we call one another, write each other a letter, or stop over for a socially distanced, mask-wearing gathering. Whatever the case is. I thank God that during this corona season that I have learned that nothing can destroy the church. Nothing can stop church from happening. Because as long as Christ is with us, church exists. And so we have cause to celebrate, and we have cause to work, to share the love of Jesus Christ with those around us, to share that message of hope and peace to those whom we encounter, because Christ is with us always. And I praise God for that from the bottom of my heart. I share with you this final benediction from Revelation chapter 1, verse 5b to 6. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen and amen. Go in peace and have a blessed week.